Welcome to Just a Minute. Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away once more, it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but the millions who tune in around the world, but also to welcome to the show four delightful, talented, humorous individuals who are going to show their skill with language and words, verbal dexterity and ingenuity as they try and speak on the subject that I will give them. And they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are... seated on my right, Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair, and seated on my left, Giles Bandrith and Pam Ayres. Will you please welcome all four of them? Seated beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, in the heart of the West End, West One District of London. Giles, we'd like you to begin the show this week. Yes. Here's an interesting subject to start with. Sitting on the throne. Will you tell us about that subject in this game, starting now?
As chance would have it, Nicholas, I happen to have a throne of my own. Among my intriguing forebears, besides Jeremiah Brandreth, the last person to be beheaded for treason in this country in 1817, is the Empress Eugenie, married to Napoleon III, and they had a double throne, one of which has come down to me on my father's side. In 1872, when the imperial couple were thrown out of France...
Paul, challenge.
A repetition of 18.
Yes, 18.
And what was the first 1892,
or whatever it was, the first time you're talking about your grand-grandfather.
Oh, yes. No. Same century. You're quite right.
Yes, right. Paul, you have a correct challenge, a repetition. You get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, which is sitting on the throne. There are 33 seconds starting now.
Charles I felt pretty secure sitting on the throne of England until the Civil War began around about 1642 and ran for about 4 or 5 years. Cromwell was considered the victor, and they cut off the head of the aforementioned monarch. This was considered a terrible blow to his life achievements.
Giles, challenge.
We've not yet had a mention of sitting on the throne. This is a very interesting dissertation.
Yeah, at the beginning, he said that Charles I was on the throne.
Was sitting on the throne.
Well, he mentioned it en passant and then has gone into the history of the Civil Wars.
Oh, dear, it's a difficult one. All right.
I mean, this is about sitting on the throne, not about being decapitated, not about Oliver Cromwell.
All right, Giles, you made your point. I occasionally, in the show, give benefits of the doubt. And you've got it now. He was deviating a little. 13 seconds, sitting on the throne with you, starting now.
The key thing the Queen once told me when sitting on the throne is to posture. Absolutely make sure that your shoulders are back, your lovely chest is out.
Jenny, challenge.
To yours.
Oh?
Yes.
I'm really sorry, Giles.
Yes. Jenny, correct challenge. 5 seconds, sitting on the throne, starting now.
Men tend to sit on the throne for longer than women, apart from Queen Victoria, who couldn't get off the thing.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point.
And
this
case,
it was Jenny Eclair. So, Jenny, you're in the lead at the end of the first round. Right. Pam Ayres, would you begin the next round? The subject is a brass neck. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
A person with a brass neck has no sense of shame, and I wonder if the phrase originated from the time of capital punishment, when the judge would say, I sentence you to be taken from this place to there to be hanged by the neck.
Yes, but I'm afraid before you
got
to that
point, stumble,
Giles challenged.
There was a hesitation.
There was, yes, I know.
Yes, it was. She was trying to get the phrase out.
It was such an awful sentence to pass, you see.
46. 46 seconds are available, Giles, and you have the subject of a brass neck starting now.
My personal trainer, Tamsin, has done a wonderful job on my brass neck, but she absolutely refuses to touch my brass monkeys. She is very particular about all...
Pam, challenge.
I think this is becoming obscene. We don't want to know about his brass monkeys.
No, she does the dusting as well as personal training, and we have these...
No.
Hear no evil, see no evil, know no evil monkeys on the mantelpiece.
Your personal training also does housework.
Yeah. That's called slavery.
I mean, I call her that. She's actually also my first wife.
You're going too far now, Giles. I can't believe that while she's twisting your neck, she's looking at the brass monkeys on the mantelpiece. So, the benefit of the doubt to you, and you have the subject, and you have 37 seconds, a brass neck starting now.
I think a brass neck is someone who has an awful lot of cheek. And I do remember when I was a politician meeting constituents who had exactly that. They came and demanded things in the rude and vile way of one. I call the...
Paul Challenge.
Well, these members of the Conservative Party.
Not when they left.
So your challenge...
I just wondered why he had these vile constituents. I don't know. It seemed very odd.
I think in every constituency there are some who are vile and some who are lovely.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
But what is your challenge within the rules of just a minute?
I don't know. I got the laugh I was seeking.
And you will get a bonus point for that.
Oh, thank you very much.
But Giles was interrupted. And so he keeps the subject, a brass neck, and 24 seconds available, Giles, starting now.
I remember the 1960s when he used to protest no arms for the Venus de Milo and touring the Museum of the Louvre and seeing a most extraordinary brass statue that contained the longest brass neck in the world. It was designed by an Albanian sculptor of the name Tito Navare. Catal 1722, oh, not 18 anything, by the way.
You've challenged Paul.
Well, yes. I mean...
You've challenged whether
it breaks up the sound of his voice, doesn't it?
I thought you were challenging on the fact that it wasn't a fictitious name, Tito Navare.
You don't get brass statues, really, do you?
Oh, you do. You
oh, you do get brass
do
statues.
Do you get brass statues?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah, Nicholas has been done in brass. Oh, yeah.
Henry Moore?
No, actually, I've been done in bronze, my hair.
I've also been done in bronze. And you
are. Albatross at home.
Well, you know what?
Pam's got a brass
albatross. A brass albatross.
No way to speak of one's husband.
So you don't wear that hanging round your neck, do you?
No, I don't. No.
No, Paul, you're challenged within the rules of just a minute.
I've got one.
Just wanted to stop him talking.
Yeah.
All right, 6 seconds. A brass neck still with you, Giles, starting now.
I remember Captain Quelch saying that a brass...
Paul Challenge.
We've had Remember before.
You had Remember.
That was my challenge. Yes.
That was Jenny's challenge, of course, but being psychic, I got there slightly ahead of her. So in many ways, it's sort of Jenny's point, really.
Paul, a correct challenge, and you have 5 seconds. A brass neck, starting now.
A brass neck is something to cherish. If...
Jenny Challenge.
Said something last time.
Yeah.
You haven't spoken on this subject yet, have you?
Oh. A brass neck.
I was demonstrating my brass neck,
yeah,
Nicholas.
You were sticking, I know you were.
May I have a bonus point?
No, you can't, darling. No. I don't think it was worth it. No, because. I don't think you realise what you've done, actually.
No, neither have I. I just was desperate to stop him.
No.
You just bluffed and forgot I hadn't said anything.
Yeah.
Paul. Incorrect challenge, so you have another point. 3 seconds available. A brass neck starting now.
Frankenstein's monster had a brass neck. He saw it in the films.
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, who's equal in the lead now with Giles Brandreth. Jenny, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject, a very feminine one, this chintz. Will you tell us something about chintz? In just a minute, starting now.
I've got a secret soft spot for chintz. Even though I live in minimalist splendour, southeast London, sometimes I will stay in a hotel riddled with chintz. Swags and fru and fra. I was frou-frou. I couldn't get away from the frou-frou.
And Giles got in before you even got to the frou-frou.
Just, hesitation.
There was a hesitation, I'm afraid.
I knew the frou and the frou was coming.
Yes, I know. Giles, you have chintz. I think it suits you, actually. At the 43 seconds, starting now.
I have a feeling that the word chintz comes to us from the Indian subcontinent and that it was in Pondicherry that the original chintz was designed and created. I recall this because at school we learnt about the Calico Wars of the 1720s when France and England were in dispute over the importation...
Pam, challenge.
I think he's gone to war again.
No. The chintz wars.
Oh. I'm just tired of not being heard, I've come to the fore.
No, I think you're getting a long way away from chintz and onto walls, and I must give the benefit of the doubt, I think, to Pam.
No, I think it's right.
Yes.
I think it's right.
So, benefit of the doubt to you, Pam, and you have the subject. You have 26 seconds on chintz, starting now.
Chintz describes a flowery fabric which was indeed originally produced in India by a woodblock process. People sniff at chintz and say it's country and folksy and not at all minimalist and modern, but I like it myself. It makes me feel very homely and cheerful when I see chintz curtains and chairs and sofas and footstools.
Danny, challenge.
Anns. I let her get away lots of Anns, but then there were loads of Anns.
Darling, you didn't have two Anns, but you had three or four.
She had seven Anns. I was counting.
Oh. She didn't have as many as that. Don't be mean.
Okay. I was gently panicking anyway, so you're quite right.
I know, darling, but you should have kept going for another 2 seconds.
Go me.
So, Jenny, 2 seconds to go. Chintz starting now.
Chuck out your chintz, said IKEA a few years ago.
So, Jenny Clare was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and she's now in second place. No, third place. One behind Paul and two behind Giles Brandreth, who's in the lead. And, Paul, your turn to begin. And the subject is just desserts. Tell us something about that subject in this game. 60 seconds, starting now.
Just desserts. It probably wouldn't work as a restaurant, would it? But just desserts means you get what you deserve. Whatever work you've put into something.
Pam, challenge.
You get what you deserve. It's two U's, wasn't it?
Oh, I see.
I'm a desperate woman.
No, you're right. Somebody had you for three Anns.
I know they did.
So I think it's two only U's. Fair now that you get
Can
somebody...
I just point out that?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
But I think if we have too many of these little challenges, it could grind to a halt somewhere. So
I can retract it.
You've got a legitimate challenge.
Thank you.
And you have 51 seconds. Tell us something about just desserts starting now.
My mother used to make enormous grey suet puddings boiled up in a vast black cauldron filled with carrots, bacon, onions, or alternatively, jams made from fruit such as blackcurrants, apples, blackberries, and...
Jenny, challenge.
Two blacks.
Blackberries, the one word.
Blackcurrants and blackberries.
Oh.
The one word, they're not separate. Pam, an incorrect challenge, you have another point and you still have just desserts.
And
you
the pudding sounds delicious, Pam. May I have the recipe?
But it went from a casserole to a pudding.
Sorry about that, but I was a desperate woman. I'm sorry about that.
But did she do it all together? Maybe you had the dessert and the pudding all together, did you?
They used to do...
The first course...
They used to have a savoury end and a sweet end.
That's in a Cornish pasty.
You've got 31 seconds.
It's a suet duff.
Really?
Yes.
More duff than suet, I think.
31 seconds, Pam. Just desserts, starting now.
Served up with custard, not bird's custard, but proper...
Too much custard.
Too much custard. Yes. Yeah.
And also, they don't like all this promoting birds. I know you've got the contract with them, but it's just...
I have not.
No, I think they're right over now. Paul, correct challenge. 27 seconds, starting now.
I suppose it's almost a Buddhist way of looking at things, the circle of karma. If you do something bad, then perhaps something awful will happen.
Jenny, challenge.
Double something.
Two somethings.
Oh, yes.
Do something bad, something awful happen. Yeah. Right, Jenny, well, listen, 19 seconds are still available. Tell us something about just desserts starting now.
Often women are on diets and have to save up calories until they can afford a treat, such as a just dessert. Maybe a sticky toffee pudding, trifle, gingerbread, all sorts of things you can shove down your throat when you deserve...
So, Jenny Clare, within speak of the whistle when, gained the extra point. Oh, she's moved forward into second place, alongside Giles, 1 point behind Paul Merton. And, Giles, your turn to begin. After midnight. Interesting subject. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
After midnight is the name of a nightclub that I first visited in Copenhagen in the company of the Earl of Longford when I was a member of his pornography committee. I still possess the raincoat that I bought at the time, though my darling wife has sewn up the pockets. We went to After Midnight and were given the most extraordinary entertainment you can imagine. There were these gorgeous maidens clad in absolutely nothing. One looked like Pam Ayers.
Well, before you got to Pam Ayers, Jenny challenged.
Deviation, you can't be clad in absolutely nothing.
Oh, you can, though. You can. You How? Can be clad in absolutely nothing. Gossamer thin.
I think
it was
if you
gossamer were... thin what she was wearing.
No, I think actually...
Well, then she should have been clad in gossamer thin.
Well, if you want the truth, she was clad in stretch marks, but that's neither here nor there.
No, I think you're right, Jenny. You can't be clad in absolutely nothing. I think it's a benefit yes. of the doubt. Jenny, 31 seconds. After Midnight, starting now.
I don't know much about After Midnight. I'm not up late these days. 10 o'clock, I'm nodding off in front of the news. In my day, of course, After Midnight was when I went out to howl. Ah! Chasing boys down back alleys. Come back! You know you want me, really. Ah! I've appalled myself.
I know. And the reaction of this audience confirms it. Paul, you challenged.
Well, there was hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
Yes.
And because the man was slightly sick in the audience.
So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. After Midnight, tell us something about that subject in this game, and there are 13 seconds available starting now.
When I used to live in my bedsit in Streatham during the 1980s, my radio was a very good friend to me, and I would listen to it particularly round midnight and afterwards. I enjoyed listening to the World Service.
Jenny Challenge.
Listening.
You were listening too much?
Oh, yes. I seem to have a bit of a habit of that.
That's when you first heard Just a Minute, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And you wanted to get on it?
I did, yeah.
And you wrote in?
Yes.
The letter began, Dear Dad.
I'll give him a bonus point. It was a good laugh. And Jenny, you've cleverly got in. You're doing this a lot, you know, with 2 seconds to go. After Midnight's with you, starting now.
After Midnight is the witching hour.
So, Jenny...
I wanted to tell you about my tawny owl.
Oh,
I was really looking forward
to
telling you. It's like a great big moth, and it comes out after midnight, and it floats between the trees, and it's very, very beautiful. And we've...
Repetition of very.
I know.
Oh, sorry, we're not playing?
No, we're not playing the game.
And my brother has made me an owl box for him, and it says Owl Abode, and I'm waiting in the hope that he will move in. And I was going to tell you all this if I'd been able to get a word in edgeways, but unfortunately I am.
Give her a bonus point.
Oh, thank you very much.
And also, Pam, it's your turn to begin, so maybe you could have worked it into this one.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you could have worked that story into this one because the subject is My Diary. Right, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
My diary is so full of depraved and salacious information that I have to keep it under constant lock and key, swathed in chains, razor wire and high-voltage cables. If the gutter press and the paparazzi got hold of my diary, shockwaves would reverberate through the civilised world. People would be shocked and horrified if they expected to see humdrum entries like went and had a crown put on me teeth or walked the dog twice, they would be sorely disappointed. Ho, 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 yes, that is
true. Oh, they loved it. And you slipped up on the things that we have
ho,
to watch
ho,
out
ho
for.
Ho, ho, was a mistake, wasn't it?
Ho, 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 right.
Yeah. Ho,
22
ho, ho.
Seconds for you, Jenny, on My Diary, starting now.
I started writing a diary in 1974 and then went on... Oh, sorry, I just suddenly just got it in my head what it looked like.
It doesn't
I went
matter.
All weird then. No, it took me back.
Giles, you challenge. There was a hesitation.
Yes.
The 18 seconds available, Giles. My Diary, starting now.
Only good girls keep diaries. Bad ones don't have the time. And I know that the diary belongs to the beautiful
Pam. Pam, you challenge.
I challenge, because I don't think what he's saying is as interesting as what I was saying.
There's no doubt about that.
Mine was more salacious and depraved.
But I must say, we enjoyed your interruption, Pam, so we give you a bonus point
for
that.
Thank you very much.
But he wasn't actually breaking any of the rules of
no,
Just a Minute.
No, it wasn't so... really. I was being outrageous.
Oh.
Giles, 14 seconds. My diary is starting now.
I first began keeping my diary in 1959, and I recall turning to the bottom of the bed where I was putting the books away and getting out my pencil and the torch that had three different colours, turning it to green because actually the white could be seen through the blankets by making...
Right. So Giles will then speak as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's now equal in the lead with Jenny Eclair. They're 2 points ahead of Paul Merton and 4 or 5 ahead of Pam Ayres. And Paul, your turn to begin. Paul, the subject now, oh, a lovely one. 3 uses for an elastic band.
Right.
Starting now.
3 uses for an elastic band. First of all, you can tie up your knickers with it, you can make your boats go faster, and you can propel model aeroplanes because they work on an elastic band-driven motor. What you do is you wind the band round and circumference...
I was wondering about those 3 U-cans in the first paragraph.
Oh, yes, there were 3 U-cans. Mm. You can.
I just sort of thought... Well...
Correct challenge. Yeah. And if you challenge, I've got to give it to you. Mm-hmm. It's not very popular with the audience, but it's correct. 46 seconds, Giles. 3 uses for an elastic band starting now.
Many years ago, I produced a play with Ali Jones in which he essayed the role of Christopher Robin. His voice was about to break, and consequently, we found that 1 use for the elastic band was before each performance to pop around and apply it to him. It kept his lovely treble piping through 4 weeks of...
Poor challenge.
Why don't you use Nicholas's truss?
Honestly, if you go on about this truss, everybody will begin to think I've really got one.
You might get sponsorship.
What's your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Was I challenging?
Yes.
I don't think I had one.
No, you haven't got one. But we enjoyed the interruption. So we give him a bonus point for that. Giles, you were interrupted. You get a point for that. And you have 3 uses for an elastic band starting now.
A second use for the elastic band was given to me by Billy Bunter himself, William George of Greyfriars School, when I used to read the stories written by Frank Richards in the 1950s, had a rubber band that he flicked ink pellets across the room and one hit Mr. Quelch above the right eyebrow. Oh, the joshing and joking we had when splosh, it went all over the visage of this fine teacher. Pam Ayres was my teenage sweetheart, and I brought her...
Poor challenge.
This is defamation, isn't it? I mean...
So it's deviation.
Deviation.
No, I was going to tell you how I gave her my first ring made out the 3rd use of the rubber band. Listen, was I to know give you, her a ring,
Giles,
and how we have been bound ever since.
No, Giles, I know you very well, and I know Pam fairly well, and I know that she wasn't your teenage passion.
Not.
We kept... Have you read the diary? Have you read the diary?
I can't read Pam's diary because it's under lock and key.
Razor wire.
You're too busy pulling on your truss. You haven't got time.
I do notice the way she edges away from you all the time, as if in blind panic.
I find that's how women show they're attracted to me.
Well, by rearing back.
It's been happening for years.
Rearing backwards.
Rearing back like a circus pony.
Paul, you were the one who challenged, weren't you? Something a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah.
And
what is the subject, by the way?
3 uses for an elastic band.
Yeah, I've just thought of another one. Okay.
Well, you've only got 1 second to tell us.
Oh, really?
Oh. Starting now.
Bungee jumping.
So we're moving into the final round. And it's an interesting situation. End of the last round, 3 of them were equal in the lead. They're not quite equal now, but it's sort of anybody's game, as you might say. Pam is trailing a little, but her contribution is so wonderful. It doesn't matter. I do want to read her diary sometime. But out in the lead, 1 point ahead of Giles is Paul Merton, and he's 3 points ahead of Jenny Eclair. And that sequence, we go into the final round with Giles to start. And the subject now, Giles, is property prices. 60 seconds starting now.
As I think I may have told you in the past, my parents are Anglo-Welsh and they burnt down their own cottage. Did I ever tell you, Nicholas, that I owned a flat in Baker Street at Chiltern Court and next door lived Huey Green? Indeed.
Paul Challenge.
You mention this virtually every time you're on this show. And the next line is, and if an opportunity had knocked for me, my life might have been a different story.
No.
So... Yes, now, we actually, have heard it many times, guys. Many times.
The next line is that, actually, I might have been Peaches Geldof's great-uncle. if Huey Green was next door. But no, this is not the point. I never told you the price, though. I was going to say that I've told you the story, but I haven't told you the price.
No, wait a minute, Giles. Wait a minute. You weren't deviating within...
And I wasn't repeating in this programme.
It's more of a career repeat, really.
But Paul did have a very amusing interruption.
He did.
So we give him a bonus point for what he said. Giles, you get a point because you were interrupted. 44 seconds, Giles. Property prices starting now.
It's so vulgar to talk about money, which may be why I find this a very difficult subject. In the 1980s, we had dinner parties where everybody discussed the value of their roof, and I really loathed it. We would be dipping food into a sort of hot, greasy thing and then saying, oh, aren't we rich because the property that we own now has gone up. The price is soaring through the roof.
Pam Challenge.
Two roofs.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, Pam, you've got the subject and you have 21 seconds available. Property prices starting now.
I bought my first home, 19 Abingdon Road, Standlake, for £11,500 in the late 70s, and I lived there for several years before I sold it. And any minute now, I expect them to place a large blue plaque upon it saying, the great poet and wit.
And Pam, I'm sure one day there will be a blue plaque on that door.
They
usually wait till you die before they put
them
up.
So I don't want it just yet.
But you brought the show to an end with a flourish, and we enjoyed it very much indeed. But unfortunately, your flourish wasn't enough to get you out of fourth place, but it doesn't matter.
Never mind.
We loved everything you did and said. It was great. And in third place was Jenny Eclair, who did very, very well and was for a time in the lead. And... the other situation is so very, very close. Giles got massive number of points.
Yes, he was gone.
But you finished 1 point behind what? Paul Murphy.
Didn't you have another son that you never talked about? I have a feeling you did.
Yeah, called him Giles.
Yes. Exactly.
It wouldn't get you another point, Giles.
Wouldn't it?
No. But they give you a huge round of applause then because they loved it. But let's have another round of applause for Paul Merton, who's the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine, intrepid, lovely players of this game. Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair on my right and Pam Ayres and Giles Brandreth on my left. For their darkness. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's beside me, for helping with the score and blowing her whistle so delicately. We thank Claire Jones, our producer, who does such a wonderful job, but she's behind the scenes all the time. And we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre in London. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the team here on this show, goodbye and thank you. But tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute! Yay!